on the Holy Eucharist as a sacrament. Verily thou art a hidden God, the God of Israel, the Savior. Isaiah 44:18. The following is from Father Frederick William Faber. The Blessed Sacrament is a mystery of daily repetition, of ordinary familiarity. We are coming across our Lord continually. Either we are calling him from heaven ourselves, if we be priests, or we are witnessing that unspeakable mystery, or we are feeding on him and seeing our fellow creatures do so also, or we are gazing at him in his veils, or receiving his benedictions, or making our devotions at his tabernacle door. Yet what is our habitual behavior to him in this mystery? We are orthodox in faith, doubtless. Every word of that Queen of Councils, the Blessed and Glorious Assembly of Trent, is more precious to us than a mine of gold. But have the intensity of our love, the breathlessness of our reverence, the earnestness of our prayers, the overbearing momentum of our faith, the speechlessness of our yearning desires, been all they should have been, or half they would have been, if we had but corresponded to the grace which he himself each time was giving us? There is no sign of lukewarmness more unerring than becoming thoughtless about the Blessed Sacrament and letting it grow common to us without our feeling it. Even though the disciples on the road to Emmaus did not know Jesus till he vanished from their sight, at least their hearts, they knew not why, burned within them as they walked and talked to him by the way. Yet how often have we been at the tabernacle door, feeling neither his presence nor our own miseries, more than a beggar sleeping in the sun at a rich man's gate? True it is that the Blessed Sacrament is not a mystery of distance or of terror, but one of most dear familiarity. Yet the only true test of our loving familiarity is the depth of our joyous fear. Yet, alas, whenever we read or hear of some of the great things concerning the Blessed Sacrament, does it not often flash upon us that our conduct is not in keeping with our creed? And looking back on a long, sad line of indifferent communions, distracted masses, and careless visits to the tabernacle, are we not sometimes startled into saying, "Do I really believe all this?" How many of us might simplify our spiritual lives and so make great progress if we would only look to the Blessed Sacrament, to our feelings and conduct towards it, and its impression upon us as the index of our spiritual condition? We are always trying to awaken ourselves with new things, new books, new prayers, new confraternities, new states of prayer, and our forbearing Lord runs after us and keeps blessing us in our changeableness and humoring us in our fickle weakness. How much better would it be to keep to our old things, to hold fast by him, and to warm ourselves only at the tabernacle fire. The following is from French Jesuit Jean Garnier. Moses, desirous of making the Israelites understand how great was the happiness they possessed in being the chosen people of God, said to them, "There never was a nation, however illustrious it may have been, who had God so communicative as is our God, who communicates himself to us." What shall we say to Christians when their loving and all-merciful God, not content with dwelling amongst us in our churches and visiting us in our homes, but has further willed to dwell in the interior of our souls and to repose in our hearts as in a temple, where we can familiarly confer with him and expose all our wants? It was an incomparable joy for the Mother of God to have carried Jesus in her bosom. Has not the Christian the happiness of carrying him in his? Saint Elizabeth esteemed herself happy when the Mother of God came to visit her. And the Lord himself is willing to come and dwell in the interior of our souls. Mary Magdalene had the advantage of kissing his feet, and we have the opportunity of embracing him and of receiving his caresses. After that, what heart would not be inflamed with love for a God who so familiarly communicates with men? Ought not this induce us to offer to him our fervent prayers, our fondest love? Have we not indeed reason to reproach ourselves with coldness and ingratitude when we think of the wondrous love which God has shown to men in this adorable sacrament? As this God of love gives himself entire to us in the Eucharist, we ought to give ourselves entirely to him. But alas, how very far we are from loving him as he has loved us in this divine mystery. He has loved us to excess, he has loved us without reserve, he has given himself to us whole and entire, he has spared nothing to show us his love. Nevertheless, it is this same God whom we love with so much coldness and with so much reserve. We give him as little of our heart as we possibly can, and often give him nothing at all. The following is from St. Cyprian. The soul would be in an utter swoon if it be not roused and enlivened by the Holy Eucharist. We do not expose those whom we encourage to fight against persecutions, or leave them devoid of help, or even unarmed, but we fortify them with the protection of the body and blood of Christ our Savior. For is it not true that the Holy Eucharist raises the faithful above themselves, and from its efficacy a worldly man becomes a heavenly man?